And so in 2010, we started the Touch of Love Deliverance Fellowship Service, amen, in San Bernardino, California, where I'm currently pastoring a flock of people, and all of them aren't from prison, but those that are and once were are now serving as deacons, deacons, ushers, amen, learning the things of God. God is good all the time. God is good. So for those of you here at Southside, Gerald, Dipsy, and many others that I know, I just want you to know that I'm keep on pushing on. You heard the evangelist say that he's 67. Well, I turned 63 this year. And I said, Lord, just give me a few more years. Amen. I want to keep on going because I know it's the blood of Jesus that covers us. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Come on, church. I don't know about you, but I know. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Yeah, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I heard my mother say this, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm a soldier in the army. My war clothes on, in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on, in the army. I got my war clothes on, in the army of the Lord. Got my war clothes on, in the. Do I have any soldiers? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier. Listen, I don't know about you, but you've got to be a soldier in this day and age. Because if you can't be a soldier to stand up for God, you will fall for anything. So you've got to learn to stand, amen? And when you stand, you can give God all the glory. All the glory. Come on, let's do this one. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Oh yeah, come on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Come on, church. Burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Come on. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. I'm going home. I'm going home to live with Jesus. Live with Jesus. Since I laid my burdens down. I'm going home. I'm going home to live with Jesus, since I laid my
delivered.
Can I get one more time? Glory, glory. Come on, do it with me.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down.
Glory, glory.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down.
That's why I praise you
for this
I the praise
for every mountain.
For every mountain.
You brought me over.
You brought me over.
For every trial.
For every trial.
You see me through.
You see me through.
For every blessing.
And for every blessing.
Now that's what I've been talking about. You got to know this man to understand that praise. As they were singing, did you go in your mind? Did you think about what he's brought you? You can't say that I'm a Christian and have not had any experience with God. You are not telling the truth. You're bearing his name falsely. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I will not be formal. I'm just going to go and write into the word. I don't want to be long here. To get on the road early, get back. But I want to tell you, I've enjoyed hearing the God speak to me this week. He's a mighty good God. Restoration is what we call it. Jesus was some man upon this earth. But he was not like the preachers we call good preachers today. His sermons mostly were about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And he drew from things around him. A lot of his sermons came directly when the Father was speaking to him, and he would look over and see a sower sowing seed, and he would bring out a sermon. He would look and see a wedding processional going on with bridesmaids, and he would bring out a sermon. Most of his sermon came directly from his Father telling him what to say. He was a mighty man upon this earth. And today, all men who preach under the anointing of Jesus Christ have that same experience. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they speak according to what God said. But we're in a time today where people are not reading, and the preachers are saying whatever they want to say, and we're saying amen to stuff we don't even know anything about. Because there's a famine in the world, in the world today. A famine from hearing God speak. Not just someone describing the word of God, but God himself speaking through men and women. We're in a closing period of Earth's history. And a lot of people rejoicing in having big church, but not having a good God. Restoration. One day he's going to restore everything. I know. Everybody ought to say hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, walk through these aisles. No, walk through the hearts of all your people here today. Let the angels walk in the aisles. Let the Holy Ghost move on their hearts. Bless us now in the name of Jesus. Let everyone say amen. Amen. When Jesus was on this earth, he had been baptized. Then he went into the wilderness. And there he stayed 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And when he had finished, he went back to his hometown where he was raised, Nazareth. And the Bible says he came into the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, and he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That was his custom. He would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he stood up to read. That's another custom that I've been talking about all week long. People are not reading. You need to read this word, not study the word, not investigate the word. You need to read the word so that you can understand God's voice. If you don't read the word, I guarantee you, you won't hear God's voice. So everybody needs to pray. Everybody needs to read the word. If you do nothing but just say, Lord, I want to read today. Read the context. Yes. Don't try to deliver. Don't try to figure out what the content is. Well, read the whole thing. Amen. And then let God speak to you. Yes. Amen? Amen? Read the word. So Jesus stood and he read. Yes. That was a custom on the Sabbath day to read the word. Yes. Now we entertain the word. And this is what he said. It is written from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Yeah. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor is at hand. He said, the Spirit has come upon me. The only way I can preach is that the Spirit come upon me. Even Jesus himself had the Holy Ghost. The Spirit upon me has anointed me. And what did he say? To set the captives free and the blind go free. We are Seventh-day Adventists. And our very name speaks of restoration. We're waiting for him to come back and restore our minds to perfection. Restore our bodies like his glorious body. Restore our lives to eternal life. We are waiting for restoration. And not only are we waiting, but this earth itself is waiting for restoration. Because the one who created them is coming back to them. The one who recreated us is coming back to us to restore us. That man called Jesus. That name that every name, every knee shall bow and the tongue shall bow. That name called Jesus. The one you love. The one you met. The one who delivered you is coming back for you one day. And he's not coming back as a babe in Bethlehem. He's coming back, hallelujah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That king that you met. I hope you just not got married to the church. I hope you know Jesus. Romans 8. All week long, we've been going on the screen. Romans 8, 14. You can read it here because I'm coming from the NLT. For all you who are led by the of God. I'm sorry. Get that. Give me another text on that. Romans 8, 18 to 23. I put that down wrong here. Romans 18. Can you get that quickly? Do you need some time? I go to the next text. This woman, what's her name, June? June's bad. June is bad, y'all. She's bad. Hey, girl. Do you know how much I appreciate for all of us can look at this? She's bad. I said, can you get that? Bang. It's done. She must have the Holy Ghost. It's done. Amen. Speak your word, Pastor. It's done. Amen. Amen. Yet, watch me. Follow me through. We're going to do some reading today. We're going to go through some depths today. Yeah. It's the word of God. It's not me. I don't try to get cute or fancy or nothing. I know. I believe this. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Yeah. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Hallelujah. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looked forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Even the earth now is groaning in pains like a childbirth, waiting right up to this present time. We believers also groan. Even though we, how many of you have been groaning? Anybody groan in here? Yes. Most of the time you have to groan before the Lord. You groan? Amen. And we believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for that day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Hallelujah. Don't you know what I'm talking about here? Hallelujah. We talked about it last night. We talked about it the other night. That body, that new body, God will give us full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised for us. Hallelujah. I want to be with him. I don't know about you. I want to be with him. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1-3. The Lord's armies, the Lord of heaven's armies says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, hallelujah, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. I've been talking about that all day long. I'm telling you that when God comes into your life, a healing begins in your mind, in your body, and in your spirit. Yes, you. Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh. God never did heal that, but Paul was healed. Am I right? Some people had diseases, and some people had, they died, but they were healed because these bodies are dying anyway. If God heals me today from a disease, I'm still going to die one day. Am I right? Because it's a temporary body. It's not real. It's not, this body is like, what we use with trash. We throw it away because sin has contaminated these bodies and they will never get to heaven. Amen. But God has promised us brand new bodies. And the Bible says when Christ comes into your life, he comes in with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. And you may not be the same as you used to be, but healing in his wings. He began to heal your mind. He began to heal your body. He began to heal your soul. Hallelujah. And one day, when he comes back again, bang, 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 new mind, new body. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost all in you. Amen. Amen. It does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know. But that when he comes, we shall be like him. Amen. And the healing, let the healing begin right now. When Jesus comes in, he gives us the power to be sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. Healing begins right now. Eternal life begins right now. Amen. Waiting on my new body begins right now. I'm getting ready to go home with Jesus. Restoration. Full restoration. Total restoration. Complete restoration. Absolute restoration. Never no more sin again. Never any cries or tears again. Hallelujah. Yeah. He will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free. And what will you do? I told you last night I wanted to dance, didn't I? Did I say that last night I wanted to dance? That's what I mean. Leaping with joy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leaping with joy. Forget you if you think I'm crazy. I'm serious. I'm trying to be dancing here. But when it happens, you can't help but be full of joy. Am I right? David danced. He wasn't naked. As some people say, he just had his king robes off and his wife considered him naked. But David danced. You know why? He said, you don't know. You don't know. The song says, you don't know what I know, but the Lord has done for me. In the morning, he's my water. In the evening, he's my cup of tea. You don't know. You don't know. So sometimes when people rejoice, you don't know. When the lady was washing his feet with the alabaster box, you don't know. We don't know. But when he comes into you, ladies and gentlemen, he makes something change inside of you. And that change continues on. And leaping with joy like calves let out loud to pastor. Oh, hallelujah. That's restoration. Yeah. We've been in sin. We've been on this earth. Yeah. Now he's let us go. Boom, we're out. And we're like calves going to pasture. Kick it. Move it. Jump it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, on that day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if there were dust under your feet. Said the Lord of the heaven's army. That's a whole Bible study there. So I'm not going that way. But ladies and gentlemen, you are God's children. And Jesus says, wait on me. And he says, don't wait alone. Because actually, I'm in you while you wait. For the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when Christ is in me, I've got that hope that one day he's coming back again. I do not garner that hope on my own. I get that hope from him that's within me, the Spirit of God that's in me, is leading me and said, wait on, hold on, Bobby. Hold on a little while longer.
Yeah.
It won't be long. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Hold on. That's why you got to have Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not no religious games you play. You got to know him.
Yeah.
If you don't have him, you have no hope. Or you can say, you quote all the scriptures you want to. Well, I know God's going to bless me. I know God. If Jesus is not in you, you're just talking. It's not real. So Jesus has to be in you to have this hope. So when he comes back, he's coming back to get his children. And his children are those in whom he is in. Amen. When you die and he comes back again, Jesus has to be in you. Those who have died in Christ. Amen. He's coming back again. Those who are in Christ, he's coming back to get again. So everything rests upon him. I wish I could tell you today, when I go through that book of Revelation and I found out something wonderful in that book of Revelation. Oh, I just can't go into it now because I haven't tried to explain what I'm talking about. But it's the whole, it's about the great controversy and what Jesus, what heaven was doing when Jesus was on earth, what heaven was doing when the loud cry was going in on the earth. All these things talks about what was happening in heaven while these things were happening on earth. Always rejoicing. Because in every episode of earth's history, Jesus was doing something that made heaven rejoice. Oh, I hope you hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. 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 John 14, 1 through 3. You know this in the King James. I'm going to read it in the NLT. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. I told you the other night that Jesus speaks family language. He's talking about Father's house. In my Father's house. If this were not so, would I told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know the way because Jesus is in us guiding the way. This whole thing is left up to him. That's why there's so much heaven and rejoicing in heaven. It's all designed in him. And I'm warning everybody in this room, in this sanctuary, do not get caught up in self-absorbed in whatever your profession is or whatever life is. Give your hearts daily over to Christ. So let, like the earth, you're waiting, eagerly waiting for the man you love to come back to take you home. And even if you're on your deathbed and you're about to die, you'll say, I know in whom I believe. I put my trust in him. And when I die and close my eyes, the next face I will see will be my Lord. I don't know how he looks, but I tell you, it's got to be good when you open your eyes and see him.
Yeah.
Now, if you open your eyes and you see the devil saying, let's take the city. Oops, you're in the wrong resurrection. Oops, it's too late. Amen. 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 And you say, well, I never did believe in that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe now. It's over. It's curtains, as my daughter used to tell me. My wife and I would play Scrabble. She'd say, Daddy, it's curtains, Daddy. Curtains. The hope that is in Christ's children is the hope of the resurrection. The resurrection is the main event towards our restoration. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. You've got to go through some things here. And now, dear brothers and sisters, notice the family language. We want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. That's people who do not have Christ. You see, when a loved one dies, I've got to have hope in Christ for myself. Not just hope for them, but hope in Christ for myself. So I can handle the death of my loved one. I have this hope that one day this person who died is coming, Jesus is going to come back with me. And this is what he says. Since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Now watch this very carefully. People argue over this part in this text here. But listen to the words here. It says, go back. God will bring back with him the believers who have died. God is God the Father. Him is Jesus. So what is he talking about? God will bring back to heaven with Jesus those who have died.
Yeah.
That's what that's talking about. God the Father will bring back to heaven with Jesus those who have died. That's what that means. And to prove it, it goes on to the rest of the chapter. We tell you this directly from the Lord. Now, who is it coming from? The Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Oh, I got to read. I got to teach. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Hallelujah. Then together with them, we are still alive and remain on the earth. We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
Those who have died will come up first. And we who are alive, we always say we, because everybody thinks they're going to be here when Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
We who are alive will be caught up with him. And so it says, encourage each other with these words.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about your Savior coming back.
Yeah.
Talk about how you long for him. Do what the earth is doing. The earth is moaning and groaning for one day to see Jesus come back again. Talk to him. Go through trials and let him deliver you. And so you get up and praise his name all day long. Everything, everybody you meet, you're calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus, he's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world that I found a Savior and he's sweet, I know. It's a personal thing with him. Heading down. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't need to write to you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. A lot of us think we're saved, but we're not. I'm a giver. I like to give to people. I really, really do. And there's somebody in this audience today I'm going to give a gift to before I leave. I love to give to people. It's part of my nature. But I found out no matter how much I give, it still doesn't get rid of my selfishness. Now to you, I may seem unselfish because I'm giving. But inside of me, I'm still selfish. You know why? No matter what I do outside, it cannot correct what's on the inside. I need Jesus to get rid of my selfishness.
Mercy.
All my works won't get rid of my selfishness.
Yeah.
I need Jesus. He says, but we aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So be on guard. not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is a time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. The confidence of our salvation. The confidence of our salvation. Having a made-up mind. Having a made-up mind that I know him and who I am. You have to live that way in this world, no matter what you're going through.
That's
every time you try to do good, we read about that last night, evil is always present. But God is in you to lift up a standard against the enemy. When he comes in like a flood, it's God in you that lift up that standard. God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ and not to pour out his anger on us. Thank you, Jesus. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, doesn't matter. We can live with him forever.
Amen.
Whether we are dead or alive when he comes back, it doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
That's the hope we must have in our lives, is that we must believe that if I die, I'll see him again. If I'm alive through the time of trouble and he comes back, I will still see him again. Amen. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. How many of you are building each other around? Helping each other around? Are you helping somebody, my sister, with your smile? Are you helping somebody, doctor? Are you helping somebody?
Build each other up.
Build each other up. Y'all are killing yourselves in your churches.
Mercy,
not this church, but you know, I'm all over the union. Killing themselves in the churches. Killing themselves. They're killing themselves. Talking about each other. They're like calves in the stable, kicking each other. You keep kicking each other, you will never get the pastor. Oh, yeah. Let's move on. Revelation 21, 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people." His home? Among his people? You mean to tell me Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the universe? And that it's coming back down to this earth in restoration? You're telling me that God is going to be in the new Jerusalem? Is that what it said? Look how privileged you are to be sons and daughters of God. God is bringing the capital of the universe down on this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. Hallelujah, will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Gone forever. No more pain. Gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said, I'm going to talk street talk. "Look, man, I'm going to make everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down. Hey, bro, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he said also, "It is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." To all who are thirsty, I will freely give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their faith is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation 21. The 12 gates were made of pearl.
Yeah.
Each gate from a single pearl. And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass.
Yes.
I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, and the Lamb are there.
Amen.
God the Father and God the Son is the light. The city had no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nation will walk in the light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. And what's that saying is, God, we won't be on the earth being new, and we'll be able to go up to the city and visit. We'll be able to go into the city. We'll come from our earthly homes out here on earth, and we'll go up to the city. We'll visit and we'll come through. Don't need no light in that city. Glory of God is in that city. We don't need to have flashlights. Glory of God is in that city. The glory of God will be there. And when you walk in, you'll be walking in and wearing something of nothing but pure glory. You come to see him. Now, we won't anybody be strutting down the church aisles trying to outdress somebody else. Amen. And you won't be spending no late Friday evening trying to get that stockings or something just before the Sabbath. You won't need that. Maybe talk about men. I'm saying stockings. It's not like women. We talk about men. I don't know what you'll be doing before the Sabbath. I don't know what men do before the Sabbath. Nothing. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there's no night there. All the nation will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry or dishonesty, for sin is done away with, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there? Is your name written there? You can start planning something. But I gotta quit. I have to quit. I'm gonna tell you why I talk so much about Jesus. I'm gonna tell you. I told you before I've had dreams and all these things. But I'm gonna tell you today what I saw. You see, when I joined the church, I joined the all Caucasian church. And I was over there a year, and then I was invited to come to the black church. I hate to say that, but, you know, to the black church. But that was all right. They wanted me to work over there with them. When I came to the black church, I started working with men. Five of those men that we gave Bible studies to are now pastoring, and they've been pastoring over 30 years. You ever went to West End Church and saw a little preacher named Al Freeman jumping up and down, singing over out there, the pastor there? I remember when he was on dope. I remember when he was when he was singing and about to cut a record for Motown. And Jesus got a hold of him. He's a preacher now. Several of them. Five of us left South Bend to go to Oakwood. Four of us became preachers, and one became a doctor. He owns a wellness center up in Michigan now, where people come and to a clinic to get well. Hey, amen. These men are great men. God, he used them. But when I was told to go into ministry, someone said, you need to go into ministry. And I said, no, I came from the Baptist background. And I don't think you ought to go to school to be a minister. I think you ought to just be anointed. That's what I was thinking, right? And they kept saying, you ought to go. You ought to go. And for about a year, they kept telling me that. And so one weekend, I said, Lord, I'm going to talk to you. You have to tell me, should I do this thing? I have five children. How can I go down to Oakwood? I don't know anything. I don't even have a diploma. So I have these things. So I went away. to a scrubby hotel. It was an old hotel. It was so old that they charged me $5 a night. Back in the 70s. I went in, I told the lady, I need a room far off because I want to spend time with God. I don't want anyone to disturb me. So did she put me far away? I was way away. I walked into the room and had a sink with legs on it, standing next to the bed. That's how old it was. I had a bottle of water and a bottle of pineapple juice. I got on my knees. It was a Friday afternoon. So I'm going to spend the same time Jesus spent. Friday afternoon, I got on my knees. I started praying. I said, Lord, I know you're going to give me a vision. But if I have a vision tonight, someone's going to say it's the food I ate this morning. So I want a vision, not tonight. I laid in that little raggedy bed, went to sleep, woke up the next morning. When I woke up the next morning, I bowed down by the bed and I began to pray. And all of a sudden, I went into vision. In the vision, I saw myself in the same room, in the same bed, but I was in vision. I was looking at myself in the bed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm lying in the bed, and something brought a reading mantle. You know what a reading mantle is, right? A reading mantle, and placed it on my chest in the bed. And I'm looking at this huge reading mantle. It looks something like this, like a lectern. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, in comes this book. This black book. This deep, black, beautiful, rich colored book. The black was so black, it was like infinite black. It was like you could put your hands in it and lose time and space. And I looked at the book, and all of a sudden, a hand began to open the book. And when it opened the book, I saw all these gold illuminated. It didn't blind me, but it was so bright I couldn't see what was on the pages. And it was turning the pages, and I was trying to see what was on the pages. I couldn't see, and all of a sudden it got to one page, and I looked at the bottom of the page, and someone began to write at the bottom of the page in deep, beautiful black ink on those golden pages, and it says, "Upon this day." That's all it said. And I was trying to look at the page, and it closed the book on me. They took the book back. The mantle left. And when it left, I saw a guy standing behind a room divider. You know how women used to have these room dividers where they change clothes back in the West? You know, old West, they change clothes. And I saw this man standing behind this divider. He had a hat on. It said Salvation. And he looked at me and he says, "So your name is Bobby Mitchell, huh?" First I was smiling. I said, "Yes, it's Bobby Mitchell." He says, "So you're going to serve Jesus Cross?" I said, "No, sir. It's Jesus Christ." He says, "It's Jesus Cross." I said, "No, sir. It's Jesus Christ." And then I looked at him again. The hat was gone. And he started laughing. And he was the devil. He was the devil. I knew it then. He started laughing at me. And I hate somebody to laugh at me. Two things I hate. Get hit in the nose. Someone to laugh at me. Hit me in the nose. Well, the devil. And he was taunting me. And all of a sudden, the screen split. You ever seen the screen split on TV? I know you do. You watch football. I see what's happening over here at this game, that game. They have a split screen. You know, they show. You know what I'm talking about, right? I looked on that corner, and there was Richard Bell, Pastor Richard Bell. He was at Andrews at the time, and he said, "Bobby Mitchell, you're going to be a pastor." And then I looked at the other side of the room, and there was another screen, and it was some church members said, "You're a fool to go down to Oakwood. You'll never make it down to Oakwood. You have all those children, you'll never make it." And so I'm listening to Bell, and I'm listening to what this other person was saying, and then I'm looking at this guy standing in front of me saying, "Jesus Cross." And I said, no, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And then the scenes left. And Jesus Christ, he said, I said, no, it's not Jesus Cross. It's Jesus Christ. He got it wrong. And he was laughing at me. Ha, ha, ha. And I tried to get up out of the bed. I was strapped down like on a gurney or something. I couldn't get up. And I said, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And I woke up. And when I woke up, I jumped up out of the bed. And I started dancing around. I'm telling y'all, I danced. I started dancing around the room. I said, God, I've just had an encounter with you. I said, Lord, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to preach Jesus Christ. Because people are preaching his images. They're talking about what he's done. But they're not talking about him. He says, I want you to preach Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, young lady, I'm a little long. He preached Jesus Christ. And that's what I've been called to do. That's why I give testimony. I've been called to do. I've been called to praise him. I've been called to tell everybody he's Jesus Christ. Amen. After that, I got on my knees. After dancing, I got on my knees. And I started reading the book of Acts. And I read the book of Acts. And when I got to the part, Acts 9, talking about Apostle Paul and how he had fallen off his horse on the road, I started crying. And I wept all the way through to the end of the book of Acts. My Bible was soaking wet because God was telling me, son, I'm calling you, but you're going to have to suffer a lot. Son, I'm calling you. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to go through a lot of pain and agony, but you got to go and preach Jesus Christ. You've got to go and tell them that he's real. You've got to go and tell them he's not a religious figure. He's a living God. He's a Savior. You got to tell them that he is. And tell them until you die. I'm going to help you. You're going to have cancer, but I'm going to take you through the cancer. You're going to have, your wife is going to leave you with all your children, and I'm going to take you through that. I'm going to give you a new wife. Amen. You know who I'm talking about. A sweet wife. I'm going to give you something new. He said, I'm going to restore these things to you now so that you can glorify my name. So that everywhere you go, you tell them that Jesus is real. Everywhere you go, you call the name of Jesus. That's why I come. And the reason why I have you to read is because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't read, you won't hear his voice. You don't know what he's doing. God has put it in English. He put it in German. He put it in French. He put it everywhere where everybody on earth can read it. Everybody can read it. It's the voice of God speaking to you. We got to get on this road. We got to go. I'm late as I thought I was going to be. That's why I was saying I'm so late. I leave this word with you. Turn your hearts towards me. Sing mine.
He's sweet. I know. He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise, and strong winds they may blow, but I tell the world wherever I go, that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, sweet, I know. Can I do that again? I said he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Oh, dark clouds may rise. Church, I want you to know that strong winds, they're gonna blow. But I'm gonna tell the world.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever I go, you know what? That I have found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know.
Everybody, let's sing that song.
He's sweet, I know.
You know that song? Sing it, sing it.
He's sweet, I know.
If you believe that, just raise your hand.
Dark clouds may rise, strong winds gonna blow, and strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world, wherever I go, that I found the Savior. That I found a Savior, and he's sweet, and he's sweet, I know.
Before I close today, there may be someone who want to give their life to Christ. You saw people going down to the water to pray the baptism today. There's no time to play. Maybe someone else here want to give your life to him today. If there's another person here, somebody who just want to come back to him. Somebody who just want to come back to him. Because you know he's sweet. Am I right? He's sweet.
So
you want to
so
give
bad.
Your life to him. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wherever I go. I found a Savior, and he's sweet.
Anyone else? Come on, he's sweet. Hallelujah.
Dark clouds, they're gonna rise. I tell you, they're strong winds gonna blow.
They're gonna blow.
But I'll tell the world.
Hallelujah.
Wherever.
Don't you want to cry?
Ever I go.
Don't you want to just weep?
Oh, that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know.
Everybody stand. And everybody give a hand clap for the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. The trees, the Bible said, will clap their hands, giving praise to God. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say praise the Lord. I know I had to pump you to say that, but God bless you. Amen. This young man, this young lady, giving their lives to Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout. There'll be nobody there to turn me out. I'm going to talk with the master and chatter with the son and tell them about this world where I come from. Sing your song. Let us pray. Let's pray. Come on. Bless you, girl. Bless you. Lord have mercy. A long time. Boy, I just feel like shouting. Everybody put your hands in the air. Point towards these two people here. And everybody said, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for bringing them back home. Deliver them now, Lord. From the hands of their enemies. And bring them back into the bosom of Jesus. We as a church welcome them into our fellowship. And we all said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In his name, let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Bless you, man. Bless you, man. God has been working in your life all your life. And you too, young lady. You know God has been working in your life all your life. He started when you were a little child. Coming to church. He was whispering to you then. Now, he's just bringing you home. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you. Put your hands together for Pastor Bobby Mitchell. We thank the Lord for coming. We're going to pray for your traveling mercies. He has to hit the road now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we dismiss, we want to do the right hand of fellowship. We want our new baptized members to line up down here. And church members, would you come by and just greet them? And while they're standing, I need a motion that we accept them into the fellowship of this church. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Praise the Lord. They're accepted into this church. And greet them. Make your way around. And just give them some love as we welcome them into this church family. Encourage them. Come on around and just greet them. And our praise team is going to take us out. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our guests before we pray now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, to present us falling.